Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good middle of the night, whatever time of day it is or whatever day of the week it is. I'm so thrilled that you would give me the honor and the pleasure of a half an hour of your life today on Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. I am here on this planet eating, drinking, sleeping, resting, gaining energy so that I can go forward to love. Love is the highest value. Lesser values in my way of thinking can devolve and easily become means of manipulation. They become BS. It's means by which we try to just kind of bait and switch and BS our way through life. But there's a higher way. There's a better way. The best way of living is loving. The only way to live is to live through the lens, through the target, the true north of love. Today in this No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast, I want to talk to you about the psychology of love. Now, come back. No, don't run away. Yes, I am going to talk about psychology, but not in some kind of psychobabble way. I just simply want to unpack, as best I can, how love is the essence of psychology. Here's in a very technical definition what psychology is. It's the science of our mind and our behavior. We all know we live within ourselves, and that's your mind. Your mind is contemplating, thinking, you're talking to yourself, you're answering yourself, you're reasoning, you're fearing, you're excited, whatever. All those things that are just running around inside the eternity of your inner self, that's your mind. And our behavior. Psychology is a science of our mind and behavior. And behavior, obviously, is how we act out and respond and react to life. When tragedy happens, what happens from us? Well, that's a part of the study of psychology. When good things happen, when we are amused, when we are crying, all of those behaviors come out of psychology. I like to break psychology down to it is the study of my psyche. My psyche is my mind, will, and emotions. It's the Randy that lives between my ears. It's that Randy that talks to Randy. So I think of psychology as studying the way I think, how I think, what I think. I believe that love has a psychology. And let me spend this broadcast today discussing that with you, to have a sense that love is a psychology. I think, first of all, when you recognize that your mind, will, and your emotions are shaped by intention. I don't believe that anything has happened to us by some crazy accident. I think things are all in a design. I have a high level of faith and belief in God. And I do believe that God shapes the cosmos. God shapes the universe. He shapes lives around us. I don't believe he has like this puppeteer shaping, controlling, but I do believe God sets in motion the events of life around us and gives us the power of choice. So in that, I do believe that what happens to us has come our way so that we can then take those events, take those moments, those people, those highs, those lows, those wonderful, ecstatic, happinesses that have come our way, and the deep lows where we weep through the night and don't know what to say or do or where to turn. I think those things are all served to us as the mix of how to become who we are. The psychology of you needs to be invited into a psychology of love, to study the psyche, the mind, will, and emotions of love. So first of all, I am convinced that we have all been imprinted. Our DNA holds the capacity of love. I'm convinced we're created in the very image of God. And I say it every week, God is love and love is God. When God loves, it's not because he's chosen to love, it's because God is love. There is nothing about God that isn't love. Always giving, always caring, always reaching, always surrounding. That is God. So when we recognize we're created in the image of God, that our DNA is imprinted with love, then we need to then make the next step and recognize that the best and highest level of psychology for our life is to think love, to live love, to define life by love. You see, it's not so much important as to what you think. It's important how you think, because how you think will develop what you think. So if, as you define life, if you will define it in terms of love, and yes, you can define it in terms of lovelessness, when people behave negatively, when you behave out of a negative or fiercely angry, bitter way, well, that's lovelessness. So it's still in the psychology of love, recognizing that all of our being is tied up in the beauty and the significance of love. Just saying that for me just feels like singing an opera. We are here to love. All of our being is about love. All of our thinking, all of our actions are about love. And the psychology of love is that means by which you and I are invited to contemplate love, to be loving, to love more, to examine where love has been wounded or lost, and then to come back to our real purpose. Our real purpose is to love. I have so many times meditated on the love that happens in my heart when I see something of beauty. I mean, no matter what it is. I mean, if it's a flower that just captivates my vision, that there's something in me that says, oh, I love that flower, that color. Or if it's a beautiful scenery to see. I've never seen the Grand Canyon, but people who tell me that have been there will have related that the Grand Canyon is like a spiritual experience. It is so vast. It is so magnificent. The colors are so striking that it is like a spiritual experience. To me, that's a psychology of love. When the human soul, the human mind sees something of awe, then something stirs in us that is so godlike. And if it's godlike, stay with me now, if it's godlike, it's lovelike. It's like love. Anything that is God is love, and anything that is love is God. So when I see a flower I love or the Grand Canyon that I love, oh my, that's the activity of God in me. That's the psychology of love. When I see my children, when I see my grandchildren, when this coming fall my son will be married in October, when I watch that ceremony, I know all those love feelings are going to stir in me. The love of my son and his bride, the love of having had a child that now is, you know, from a baby that I carried from the delivery room to the nursery in that hospital down in Texas, to now this grown man that's just so happy and full of joy in marrying this woman of his love. See, that's the psychology of love. What makes me think like that? Well, what makes me think like that is that the basis of my life is the need to love, be loved, express love, and embrace love. That's the psychology of love. It's how I think. It's how I assimilate. It's how I define life. It's how I decide how to walk into a day. I think each and every day, at some level, we are invited to love that day. Love that day. So for me, the psychology of love is a decision. Today, I will love this day. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be sunshine and roses. It just simply means that if everything goes well, I will love it. But by the same token, if things get sideways, if things get roughed up, if things go unexpected. You know what that is. It's that shocking phone call with bad news, or it's just a series of events of things just not going right. How do I define that? How do I define life? How do I look at a day that has gotten really messed up? My choice is in the understanding of the psychology of love. My choice is to love that day, because hardship is teaching me something about me. It's training me day by day. Hardship can be a coach. Hardship can be an internal mentor and coach that is walking me through how I'm thinking. You know, it's not what you think, it's how you think that's more important. How are you thinking about this? And, you know, I want to be quick to say, you can give yourself moments of just frazzled, I'm done, I just can't manage this anymore. You can give yourself that, as long as you don't stay there. We all have that kind of that collapsing moment where we just sit down and stare at the mess. We all do. But as long as you don't make that a lifestyle, that's okay. Now, then if on a simple day, just a day that goes in a routine manner, where my schedule is kept fairly well, where my priorities are done the way I was hoping they would get done, and the interruptions are few, now again, can I love the mundane? So let's just stay on that for one moment. Can I love the average mundane day where priorities are fairly well kept and what I wanted to do gets done? That's mundane. That's not necessarily exciting, and it's certainly not disappointing. But can I love in the mundane? Can I love in the average? Can I train myself? Can I meditate toward loving the most simple of all things? Can I simply love having a regular average meal? You know, we are always talking about having had, oh, we just had the best meal ever. I just went to the greatest restaurant, or somebody invited me over and they served my favorite dish. We all understand that, right? But what about the days when it's just an average ham sandwich? What about the days when it's just a bowl of cereal? What about those days when it's nothing outrageously good and it's certainly not bad? What about the average day? I'm convinced the psychology of love invites me to assimilate the average normal day in a loving way. I think the average normal day is one of those opportunities to just simply let the current, the winds of your plans carry you without you having to flap your wings too hard. If you've ever had the experience of looking for eagles in the sky, most of us can say, nope, that's not an eagle. That bird's flapping his wings too hard, because the eagle knows how to catch the current and just waft through the updraft that is carrying that eagle along. I think you might be able to consider that maybe an average day, as things just carry you along, and you know, I'm not having a high day, I'm not having a low day, it's just an average day. In the psychology of love, there's an invitation to love in the middle of average mundane experiences, to let love be what you do no matter how high or how low everything's going. Now, so we started a moment ago with the disappointments, the grief-stricken days, the days you get that bad phone call when things get sideways and messed up. Then I moved to the moderate, the average, the normal. I got my list done for today. Nothing high, nothing low. It's just a mundane average day. Now let's talk about the ecstatic day, that best day, that wonderful, like I talked about in October, my son's wedding. What about that day? That day when things are absolutely beautiful, then I really want to encourage you to do this. As a person of love, train yourself, prepare yourself to fall in love. Have a love party about what is good. When things are happening that are good, when things that are happening that are spectacular, you know, the birth of a child, the birth of a grandchild, a wedding, a birthday party, a surprise party from friends, a congratulations for a job well done, whatever the event may be. That's one of those high points in life, a retirement, a graduation, all of those great events. Be a person. I think the psychology of love invites us to be a person who really, really just sucks the marrow out of that bone. You know, it's the Dead Poets Society talks about just sucking the marrow right out of life. When you have high points, make sure you're giving yourself the opportunity to thoroughly enjoy. Just soak up the beauty and the benefits of the moments of a celebration of life, whatever the celebration is. Make sure you're creating an internal diary, if not a literal diary. Make sure you're creating a photo gallery, either literally or internally. That's the psychology of love. It's keeping good notes, good mental notes, and good physical notes about what went right. You know, I have learned to say when the weather is gorgeous out, when people say, oh, what a beautiful day, I have learned to respond by saying, yeah, what did we do to deserve this? I do that because we are often on the other side of that. When the wind is blowing and howling and it's raining and it's cold or it's blistering hot, some people will say, well, what have I done to deserve this? Or if things go wrong, what did I do to deserve this? I like to flip that around. That's my own psychology of love. I flip that around when good things are happening, especially good weather. I'll say to people, what have we done to deserve this? You know, the answer to that is really nothing. We didn't do anything to deserve the good. And by the way, we didn't do anything to deserve the bad. I think in the psychology of love, we know how to celebrate good things as well as to contemplate bad things. So to contemplate disappointments without becoming self-loathing or self-abusive or to tear yourself down. The psychology of love teaches me that negative events are not an opportunity to fillet yourself. Negative events are not an opportunity to tear yourself up. Negative events certainly do invite you to examine, is there something I could have done better? Obviously. However, to dwell there, to stay there, is of no benefit long term. It also, in the psychology of love, when we have good events, certainly we can evaluate what we did to sow into those good events. What did I do for the planning of a good event? How did I manage my life toward having this good event? How did the days leading up to a good event, how did they include plans and purposes? But by the same token, now hear me carefully, when good events come, am I able to simply enjoy them without having to in any way think of how I could have made it better or how things got disappointed, even in the good events, just to soak up the good and to recognize oftentimes good things come our way just by the beautiful, simple happenstance, the coincidence, if you want to call it that. It's the collision of the right things. Some may say all the stars lined up today. And what did you do to get the stars to line up? Absolutely nothing. So we can do things to contribute to good things, but we can also simply enjoy the ride of life, knowing that life is carrying us along at the speed of love. Life is moving at the speed of love, and it invites us as people of an interior world. Your inner world will always become, in some form or another, your exterior world. What you live inside, your psychology, how you think and what you think, all of those things compiling in you, your interior world will often become your exterior world. What you meditate, what you ruminate, what you chew on regularly, interior, in your inside you, the conversations you hold with you, what you live there will often become what you live around you. So why not intentionally just build an interior world of wild expectation of love? The psychology of love. It's the science of how we think, what we think, the confluence of all the events that happen in life, whether they're average or extraordinary or grief-stricken or negative, whatever those events are. How have we designed our thinking toward those events that they are building us and not tearing us down? Now, I want to add just very briefly here, in a psychology of love, we do need to recognize it's the most loving thing you can do for yourself to get help, to get professional counsel. Find a good counselor. I'm not convinced every counselor is good, just like there are auto mechanics. Not every auto mechanic is good. Not every gardener is good. Not every grocery store is good. But there are some good ones. So when you find a good auto mechanic, you stay with that mechanic. When you find a good counselor, you not only stay with that counselor, you recommend them to others. A counselor is somebody who's professionally trained, somebody who's given their life, their passions, and their love to helping people, giving you the opportunity to just bounce off of somebody with a psychology degree, or even to be a doctor of a psychiatric studies. Those are the kind of people that we are gifted with in this life. I know there are some listening who may have a negative view of psychiatry or the psychologist. I understand that. I've had that in my own growing up. I know my dad used to make fun of psychology, and I knew I carried that myself. But when I discovered healthy counseling, good, solid people of compassion and empathy who could hear me out, I knew that it's time for, as a pastor, for me to recommend to others, see a good counselor. The study of psychology is actually, in human history, quite a young study. It's only 400 or 500 years old in total. Now, when you compare that to the practice of medicine is as old as humankind, thousands of years old. I mean, back from the earliest dark days, dark ages of drilling holes in people's heads to bleed out the sinus problems or the demons they thought were causing sickness, those thousands of years ago. Now, modern medicine is amazing. The technology and the expertise is amazing because we practice. Psychology is much younger than that. The study of the human mind is so much younger, and we're still learning. So go easy on the professionals. They're trying to practice toward a better day. And I would recommend, if you've ever found yourself at an impasse for how you think and what you think and how you cannot get out of a trap in your thinking, I would recommend good counseling. But I also know we can be our own best counselor. We can do it day by day, little at a time. And in being your own best counselor, here's where I'm going to bring this broadcast to a close and to a full circle. In being your own best counselor, develop a psychology of love. How to love yourself, how to love your life, however mundane or average it may be. How to love the lows, how to love the moderates, and how to love the highs. Loving everything equally with a sense that all things are coming my way to develop in me a good life. And it's up to me to have a loving life. To love my house, to love my yard, to love my neighbor, to love my enemies, to love my community, to love my church, to love my community of faith, to love the simple the actions, that's the word I'm looking for, the events and actions of others that are around me. You know, sometimes we can enjoy other people's celebrations as much as we do our own. Well, there you have it. And I close every broadcast with one simple way to love yourself, a psychology of breathing, breathing in and holding it and then breathing out. Give yourself daily opportunities to breathe deeply, to give that your lungs a full inhale of oxygen. It's free. You can do it for yourself anywhere, anytime, and it'll bring your blood pressure down, and it'll give your body some oxygenation that it so desperately wants. It's kind of a Sabbath practice, day in and day out. And the second thing I want to invite people to do is to look somebody in the eye. I want to focus on this one, this broadcast. I can't look at you through the radio or through your device, your computer, but I can call you to attention. Listen to me carefully. Give me just 10 seconds right now. Let me say to you the three most charmed and magical words of the human existence. I love you. I don't know who you are. I don't have to know who you are. I simply know in my own personal psychology of love, I've decided life is too short for hate. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Love is the highest value. So whoever you are, wherever you're at right now, whatever disappointment you've carried, whatever great event you're experiencing, I want you to know, I love you. Now breathe that in deep. Take that into your lungs along with the air. Take in the love you just heard from me. Breathe it in. Hold it into your lungs. And then exhale. And now I challenge you, go find somebody. Look them right in the eye. Give yourself a slow down moment and a smile on your face and look them so clear that they would think you're looking down into their psyche, their own psychology, their own soul, and say, hey, I love you. Thanks for being here today again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS. It is a pleasure for me to share my thoughts with you week in and week out, to study, to look into the greatest human adventure of all time, love. May your heart soar even in average moments, and may your life be filled with love. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today for this episode of the No BS Bishop.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.